Expo, your home to the coast. 1340 KYNS.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The earth is overcrowded and it's getting worse. Or is it?
The birth rate has hit the lowest point since reliable record keeping began in 1920. The Pew Research Center's Gretchen Livingston says the decline's fueled by a plunge in births to immigrant women in the wake of the Great Recession.
We think the most recent declines, that is the declines that have happened really quickly since 2007, might be related to the economic declines that have occurred at about the same time.
The birth rate peaked in the baby boom years and was nearly double today's rate of 63.2 births per 1,000 women in 1957. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Washington.
What is the import of the UN debate over a Palestinian request to be given status as an observer state?
Once they have this observer status, they're able to apply to be members of the International Criminal Court, and that could mean that they are able to pursue Israel with charges of war crimes.
Reporter Rebecca Collard. In places like Ramallah in the West Bank and in Gaza, Palestinians are already celebrating the anticipated positive vote. The Commerce Department says the third quarter grew better than expected, but the future looks slower. Economist Joel Naroff.
Business investment was, pretty weak. And as a result of that, you've really got to wonder what kind of momentum the economy is carrying into 2013.
It adds to the pressure, of course, on Congress and the White House to avoid the fiscal cliff of arbitrary budget cuts, mostly on the Pentagon, and a reversion to the Clinton era's higher tax rates. Negotiations today, opening salvos at least, from Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, meeting with House Speaker John Boehner and Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid. Republicans say they want real cuts in government spending. The White House says taxes must go up on the rich, and the national debt must also go up. On Wall Street, the Dow up 47 points, and NASDAQ has gained 22. Ice, lots of ice, is melting on Greenland.
We're seeing two things going on at once, both faster ice flow and greater melting. And both of those are pointing towards a lot more ice going into the sea.
That's Ted Scambos at the National Snow and Ice Data Center. Ready for this on the first rock from the sun? The one with average temperatures on the sunny side of Mercury, more than 700 degrees Kelvin. And on the cool side, minus 300.
We have very compelling evidence that these regions are indeed filled with water ice.
That's David Lawrence at Johns Hopkins. He says the ice is at the poles, Arctic regions, the size of Washington, D.C. The Navy's been working with Grumman on a new attack plane, a bomber drone that would take off from a carrier, take its package to the target, and return to the carrier. The X-47B pilot is a computer, and the super drone is on the USS Harry Truman now with plans to test it in December. This is CBS News.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're offering a risk-free trial of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now can try a risk-free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. We only have a limited supply of risk-free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-865-1483. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-865-1483. That's 1-800-865-1483. 1-800-865-1483.
$588 million. We didn't win in the Powerball, but wasn't it fun to dream?
After a day yesterday filled with smiling faces and Powerball dreams,
I buy apartments in several different cities around the world and stock them all with a full wardrobe.
Now it's back to reality today, but there's nothing wrong with those daydreams we had yesterday. They might even be healthy for us, says psychologist Dr. John Northman.
I would agree with that.
So long as you hope to win and not expect to win and aren't too crushed holding a losing ticket this morning. Most of us, come on, we're not too crushed.
Because it was $2.
But the lucky winner, if they're within the sound of my voice, has some advice from Dr. Northman waiting.
Well, at that point, I would just say enjoy the thought in your head.
Before you deal with the reality that your life has changed. Steve Cishan for CBS News, Buffalo.
The GAO has a report on the 166 terrorist suspects at Guantanamo. Federal and military prisons could hold them securely. 37 similar prisoners are already in there. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Mom, what if something happens to Dad?
Why would something happen to Dad?
Tom's dad died, and he wasn't even sick. Now they have to move.
Life's unpredictable, and when you put off things like life insurance, you can get caught off guard. Fidelity Life makes protecting your family affordable, even in today's economy. Less than $15 a month buys a healthy 40-year-old a $250,000 term life insurance policy. We just assess your needs, give you our best quote, and our competitors, and then you choose. We work directly with the nation's top carriers to find the policy that's right for you. And because we give you the best quotes, you can save up to 70%. Call 1-800-707-7100 for your free quote and 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-707-7100. That's 1-800-707-7100. Or visit FidelityLife.com. Fidelity Life Association is licensed in all states and the District of Columbia, except for Wyoming and New York. Not all products available in all states. Applications and rates are subject to underwriting approval.
Well, I'm certainly glad that we don't have the Powerball lottery in California because the winners were from Missouri and Arizona. What would have been the point?
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Southside Promenade. I can see Mike and get some shoes, get some shoes, because he's got some great shoes, and he's got Uggs and all the great stuff. Hi, you're Bill Benneker, Talkers Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYNS, your news station today. Let's talk about what's going on in history and whatnot, and this is according to the Tribune. Our highlight in history: on November 29th in 1952, President-elect Dwight D. Eisenhower secretly left on a trip to Korea, keeping his campaign promise to assess the ongoing conflict firsthand. On this date, 1947, the UN General Assembly passed a resolution calling for the partition of Palestine between Arabs and Jews. Yes. In 1961, Enos the Chimp was launched from Cape Canaveral aboard the Mercury Atlas V spacecraft, which orbited Earth twice before returning. He didn't make it. 1972, the coin-operated video arcade game Pong, created by Atari, made its debut at Annie Capp's Tavern in Sunnyvale. 1981, actress Natalie Wood drowned in a boating accident off Santa Catalina Island at the age of 43. Birthdays today: Hall of Famer and sportscaster Vin Scully is 85 today. Former French President Jacques Chirac is 80. Blues singer-musician John Mayall is 79. Actress Diane Ladd is 77. Composer-musician Chuck Mangione is 72. Comedian Gary Shandling is 63. Actor-comedian Howie Mandel is 57. Actor Andrew McCarthy is 50. Actor Don Cheadle is 48. Actress Anna Faris is 36. And rapper The Game is 33. Happy birthday to them and to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
On Thursdays at 106 and 7/8, Talk is Cheap is delighted to bring you Reel to Reel
with your host Bill Benneke
and the Palm Theater's Jim D.
We spend time chit-chatting about all things movies, with current hits to box office flops.
And, of course, all the great movies for the week at the Palm. Luckily, Jim is very knowledgeable about the industry.
And as luck would have it, I'm pretty knowledgeable about the movie industry.
Jim and Bill on Reel to Reel Thursdays at 106 and 7/8.
We're only in it for the movies.
News you can use from Cal Coast News on KYNS today. Finally, somebody said, Bill, this is why. Don't you get it? Okay, got it now. Supervisor Bruce Gibson's adulterous long-term affair with a subordinate, his legislative assistant of 6 years, will cost county taxpayers $68,870 in annual salary plus benefits for a parallel county position she's been offered by the county administrator. Sherry Espuro was appointed by Gibson as his legislative assistant, an at-will job that concluded when the elected official leaves office. After news of the affair with Gibson became public, the county offered Espuro a new job. Slo County Administrative Officer Dan Buckshee said that plans to shift her to another county position. Legislative assistants, however, are not considered civil servants and do not have the ability to transfer to a county civil service job. Former North County Supervisor Mike Ryan, who served on the board for 8 years, was outspokenly critical by Buckshee's decision. Reassigning her, there is no reassigning her. Ryan told Calcos News the county can't let her go because she works for Bruce Gibson, and they can't reassign her until a civil service position without violating civil service laws. She has to get back in line for a job. Otherwise, she's taking a job that someone else was waiting for. Ryan added, I like Buckshee, but I think he is a very capable guy. But if county council Rita Neal is guiding him through this, he may have the wrong guide. Both, incidentally, just got nice contracts from the board. Although her previous position in the clerk office recorder paid recorder's office, paid about $35,000 a year. The county is offering a spur of the same $68,000 she's been earning to be paid from supervisor's discretionary funds. But she made his decision based on the premise that she once worked for the county. She quit county employment to work for Gibson. Other county employees who have quit positions to become supervisor's legislative assistants, however, have not similarly benefited. None was subsequently offered a job with the county. Several local attorneys speculate the county council weighed the potential financial risk if a Spurro should lose her position and then sue for sexual harassment. Officials apparently determined to protect the county have offered her equal compensation without regard for qualifications or available jobs. And it goes on, but you got the gist right there. I didn't know she couldn't. I thought it was a county job. It's not. It's like being in radio. Paid better. The first thing. Yeah. Of course, everything does. All right, other people in the news here. Itasca officials announced Wednesday that Pismo Beach has selected James Lewis, Atascadero's assistant city manager, as Pismo Beach's new city manager. The announcement came before the Pismo Beach City Council officially votes to approve Lewis and his contract on December 4th. Nevertheless, Atascadero City Manager Wade McKinney said he expects Lewis's contract will be approved and he will end his service to Atascadero in mid-February, begin his new assignment shortly thereafter. Lewis has served as the Assistant City Manager and President of the Office of Economic Development since 2004. During his time with Atascadero, Lewis instructed city staff to allow former North County developer Carolee Gearhart to skip the city's planning department and deal directly with upper-level city employees. This allowed Gearhart to bypass project finalization and avoid more than $200,000 in city fees, several employees and city officials have said. One time Atascadero Person of the Year, Gearhart pleaded not guilty to 16 charges of mail fraud, wire fraud, and money laundering at his arraignment in August in L.A. federal court. Faces up to 300 years in federal prison if convicted on all charges. Gearhart's trial is currently set for January 29th, and though the federal officials and Gearhart's attorney have been discussing the plea agreement in which Gearhart could serve less time for providing information on public officials, he has not signed a plea agreement at this time. His lender, James Miller, agreed to plead guilty to charges of fraud and money laundering in 2011 as part of a plea agreement the court then filed under seal. In 2008, long after the issue with Gearhart and the city became public, Atascadero City officials announced the FBI had launched an investigation into the city hall. 4 years later, it is unknown exactly why the city is under federal investigation, and city officials such as Mayor Bob Kelly no longer mention the investigation or the allegations against Lewis. We are sorry to see Jim go, Kelly said. Jim is an aggressive recruiter of businesses and kept good relations with the business community. Pismo Beach is lucky to get him, and we wish him luck and success in his new role. Anybody see a pattern here? Okay, here's the other thing going on. Supervisors battle property advocacy on ag ordinance, advocates on ag ordinance. The San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors is trying to revise, finalize revisions of a contentious ag cluster ordinance before Debbie Arnold replaces Jim Patterson in January. Proposed changes to the ordinance make it more difficult for rural landowners to build houses on properties zoned as agricultural and direct development closer to urban areas. The issue pits the environmentalist board majority against property rights advocates in the county. During the first board hearing on that ag cluster revisions, numerous speakers protested the proposed ordinance, describing it as an unjust taking of land. The supervisors decided to postpone the hearing until December 4th, and one now claims that the California Coalition of Labor, Agriculture, and Business is trying to filibuster a vote. CoLab Representative Mike Brown, who opposes the ordinance, has requested several times that the board notify the individuals who have property affected by the ag cluster revisions. The board has refused to do so, choosing instead to run a newspaper ad about the hearing. In response, CoLab has requested in its weekly newsletter that concerned citizens attend the December 4th hearing and bring five friends. It sounded like they're trying to filibuster, Supervisor Bruce Gibson told the Tribune. That's not going to work. Brown has also requested that the Board of Supervisors let people who spoke at the initial November 13th hearing speak again next week. The board has refused to do that as well, and Brown made the request during general public comment on November 20th. Patterson responded by saying that CoLab has asked people to bring five friends on December 4th. Patterson did not allow Brown a follow-up comment, told the Tribune that the board will complete work on the ordinance before the year's final three meetings are over. It's not that complicated, Patterson said. We're just trying to plug a few holes. All we're doing is making a few changes. One such chain limits ag cluster development to within 2 miles of a designated urban area. The current ordinance allows ag clusters within 5 miles from urban areas. And, of course, with Debbie Arnold coming in, they assume that vote would change, which is why. Do you see a pattern here? Okay. this story just appeared, so I'll go right to it. Union Bank to lay off up to 400 Central Coast employees. Union Bank officials are heading up the coast from Santa Barbara through San Luis County to Monterey, handing out layoff notices to hundreds of Santa Barbara Bank and Trustee employees at 14 branches. Several employees have said Union Bank's purchase of Santa Barbara Bank and Trust for $1.5 billion is slated to close on Saturday. Employees said they have received layoff notices that say if they do not take a new job in the next 60 days, they'll receive severance packages. Union Bank officials started handing the notices out yesterday in Santa Barbara County and are currently working their way through San Luis Obispo County. Debbie Whitley, the Executive Vice President of Public Affairs, confirmed that the layoff notices were going out, but she said she was unable to give more details until tomorrow after all the employees' notices are delivered. In March, Pacific Capital, parent of wholly owned subsidiary of Santa Barbara Bank and Trust, entered into the agreement to be acquired by Union Bank Corporation of California, the parent company of Union Bank. At the time, employees of Santa Barbara Bank and Trust were told their jobs were either secure or that the bank would work to find them new positions. It's an old lie. I don't know. They fell for that. Oh, nothing's going to be the same. I mean, everything's going to be in radio. They say everything's going to be the same. The only thing that's the same is the address. This was kind of good news, I thought. The Rio Grande City Council voted 3-2 on Tuesday to approve the construction of a new police station to be built on a portion of Old Ranch Road and West Branch Street. Staff recommended the West Branch location, which includes a lot of contingencies. Primarily, it depends on the availability of a site previously approved for a 53,000-square-foot recreational facility for the Five Cities Community Services Foundation, which has encountered funding difficulties. If the nonprofit cannot move forward, the city is hoping to grab the spot. City staff said they should know by March. Staff reported that a new police station at the West Branch location would cost roughly $5.9 million, which would be offset by revenues from the sale of the current property and possible grant funding and plenty of tickets. Councilmembers Jim Guthrie and Karen Ray dissented, noting that they preferred a remodel or expansion of the current station on North Halcyon Road. And finally today, the NRC has supported the Diablo Canyon earthquake study, and more details to follow now. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission on Wednesday supported a recent study by PG&E that found that the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant could withstand an earthquake along the newly discovered shoreline fault. During the two open houses held in San Luis Obispo, NRC representatives and earthquake experts listened to public comment and answered questions about how the plant would fare if an earthquake occurred on one of the neighboring faults. A study conducted by the NRC concurs with PG&E's conclusion that ground motion produced by a quake along the shoreline fault would be within the plant's existing design limits. The shoreline fault has a low slip rate that is estimated to be an order of magnitude less than the Hosgree fault, which implies that its overall contribution to the hazard is relatively limited, the report concluded. Shell Oil discovered the Hosgree fault in 1971 as a result of finding Diablo's design was changed and the plant was retrofitted to withstand a magnitude 7.5 earthquake. 1985, the 5.7 billion dollar plant began producing energy. 2008, a second fault dubbed the Shoreline fault was discovered less than a mile from the plant. At its closest point, it's only 2,000 feet from Diablo Canyon's nuclear reactors. Several anti-nuclear groups, including the San Luis Obispo and Mothers for Peace, contend that the recent PG&E study is not accurate because of the possibility that the shoreline fault is connected to the other faults. And the most fascinating part of this whole entire thing is the fact that you're looking at one fault and you say that could produce a 7.5, that you could look at the Hosgree, could that produce an 8? Behind us we have the San Andreas fault that could produce a 1,000. So, okay, I'm not sure we're worried about the right thing. But anyway, well, you're up to the minute right now on CalcoastNews.com at 12:23. I'm Bill Bennett reporting for 1340 KYNS.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
I do kind of a news and commentary as I go. Anyway, so that's what's going on. A lot of stuff going on. Does it ever occur to anybody that, you know, what could happen with the San Andreas fault and that would make the other two faults look like a pittance. Okay, we have weird weather coming our way, and as a matter of fact, CBS News has picked it up, so we'll let them do the weather forecast.
And the West is bracing for another round of torrential rain today. It is the second of three storms this week that could cause trouble over a widespread area. Carter Evans is in Auburn, California, near the Sierra Nevada Mountains. Carter, good morning.
Good morning, Nora. There is a lull in the rain right now, but later today, this area behind me could look completely different. Heavy downpours could turn roads into rivers very quickly, and that's concerning to California residents up and down the coast.
Experts say the rain that fell in California on Wednesday is just a small taste of what's to come. The first salvo in a triple threat of storms, which has already caused power outages in Saratoga, California, downing trees and contributing to a big rig accident in Sacramento. Workers are clearing the roads before two more storms hit later today and Saturday.
Cut it up, get it off the road, move on to the next one.
There's a lot of moisture that comes with these systems, so we're seeing a lot of rain, and we're seeing it day after day after day.
It's a so-called Pineapple Express weather system, a jet stream that starts near the pineapple-growing territory of the Hawaiian Islands. Some call it a rain train with a final and potentially devastating destination in the western U.S.
The Pineapple Express can cause a lot of damage. It's a warm storm, and it brings a lot of water along with it. But on top of that, it could bring snow to the higher elevations, but it'll turn around, and it'll melt that snow right away. And in turn, that'll turn into additional flooding.
Previous Pineapple Express storms brought as many as 14 inches of rain. Forecasters say this system could bring as much as 12 inches of rain to the coastal mountains, increasing the threat of widespread floods.
And there's a big concern for people living in areas that were burned by last summer's wildfires in Northern California. The ground in those areas can become saturated with water very quickly. That can cause flooding and mudslides.
There you go. It's not good. We got Oceana to worry about now. Other places, it's going to be torrential. They say it's going to be really humdinger winds up to 40 miles an hour and stuff along the coast. Matter of fact, they have a John Lindsay story here today where he told about all this crazy stuff going on. He said, I can count on my hand the number of times there's been a big southwesterly wind event, said Lindsay, who has more than two decades of forecast experience here. It's pretty rare, seldom seen. Lindsay expects waves to be more, the surface is likely going to be highest around Morro Bay. Lindsay expects waves to be more than 11 to 13 feet, though individual sets of 20 feet could be possible. Said Port San Luis could be most vulnerable. By Monday, Lindsay said San Luis Obispo should have between 2 and 4 inches of rain. And I have a thing I'm going to do Sunday. You know, I have a thing Sunday where I'm going to have to walk from one place to another place and get drenched. Oh, joy.
I feel special about that.
It was actually kind of weird. I put on a fairly heavy jacket today, thinking it was, I didn't look at the temperature or anything, but I figured it's probably pretty cold out, like it has been. It was kind of warm when I stepped out of the house. I don't know what that's about. I don't know where that came from. It's not the Katy Abatic. It's the, what do we call them? The Cuesta, the San Andreas, the, what do we call them? Something. I don't know. Mission San Luis winds, whatever they're. The big blow, the slow blow. All right. Now, here's something that's absolutely insane. Let's get the insane stuff first, shall we? Okay. Here we got John Lennon mentioned twice in one newspaper today. You remember that Beatle classic, I Want to Hold Your Hand, turns out Yoko Ono had other things in mind. She is a Ono's newspaper collection, inspired menswear collection inspired by John Lennon, includes pants with large handprints on the crotch, tank tops with nipple cutouts, and even a flashing LED bra. So there you go. She said he had a sexy bod. Okay, too much information. Van Gogh, Lennon letters to be sold. Vincent Van Gogh, George Washington, John Lennon, other iconic figures. Here's what they say about who's worth what. Another top item is signed by the Van Gogh letter written in 1980 to Joseph, and we don't care. For those letters, it's estimated to bring $200,000 to $300,000. A handwritten letter from John Lennon to Eric Clapton has a pre-sale estimate of $20,000 to $30,000. The collection will be exhibited December 3rd through 9th at Douglas Elliman's Madison Avenue Art Gallery, wherever that is. Madison Avenue, I guess. Okay. December auction is the first of several sales that will be held over 2 years. The entire collection contains 3,000 items. All right. Because you need to have a letter hanging around. They had a cute thing. They've got video and everything. Remember the other day? Apparently something's going on. Can I say that? Something apparently is going on with the animal kingdom. First, we'll have a story later today that says DNA samples from something claim that scientists, and this is scientists now, claim that it makes Bigfoot a very real possibility. There was another story. Well, we had the story about the camel Remember the camel escaped from the circus and decided to head down the street? Well, here we've had a zebra and a mini horse did the same thing. They said, I'm fed up with the whole deal. In New York City, they were. Anyway, so they were at a petting zoo and said, we're taking a walk. And they did. So it caused some commotion, as you can imagine. What's going on with these animals? Okay. Tired of being caged up. I got to get out. Kardashian's divorce trial inches forward with her, whatever it's going to be, an annulment or whatever it's going to be with Humphries, Chris Humphries of the NBA. Rapper PSY's Mission Impossible, you know this guy, that funny gang thingy guy? All right, they asked, is there anybody who, as impossible and probable as it might be, that you would like to see perform your kind of dancing? And he picked Tom Cruise. They don't tell me why. And what else? That 70 Show star arrested. That 70 Show star Lisa Robin Kelly is free on bond after being arrested for assault. Police in the Charlotte, North Carolina suburb of Mooreville arrested the 42-year-old and 61-year-old husband, Robert Joseph Gillum, after responding to a disturbance at their home. Gillum is charged with misdemeanor assault on a female. Kelly is charged with misdemeanor assault. They're beating up somebody. And then, Lindsay Lohan back in jail again. She apparently was at she was partying at a bar, or what do they call it? What do you call it? It was a club. Clubbing. They call it clubbing down there in L.A. She was clubbing at 4 a.m. I don't know if it was, actually, I don't know if it was in L.A. or where it was. She was clubbing at 4 a.m. I don't think it'd be here because you can't club at 4 a.m. in California. So anyway, she was clubbing at 4 a.m. And she got in an altercation with another lady who was taunting her about, you know, probably being Lindsay Lohan. And so then Lindsay bopped her. And so now Lindsay's doing the big arrest photo again. I was going to play it. You know what I was going to do, but it disappeared. I don't know where it went. I was going to play a commercial, but it up and left. Okay, no problem. Should we go to this? I don't know what's going to happen when I do that. Okay, I'm safe. Now I'm not touching another thing. All right, so here's what I was going to do. I was going to play the commercials that I thought were there, but apparently not. And then I have this wonderful thing to share with you right here. I got a little Christmas music today, and I really, this is one of my faves right here, Stevie Wonder.
There's a warm little home on a hill, and a present that's hiding somewhere, and the world is so peaceful and still, you can almost hear love in. There's a blanket of snow on the ground, and a bright little star in the sky. And your heart knows that Santa's around by the twinkle in everyone's eye. Gift bringing and warm little feet by the fire and rockets playing and folks praying somewhere the sound of a choir has two people. Kings we still have to fear. There's a warm little place in my heart for our warm little home on a hill. There is gift bringing.
There's a warm little place in my heart for a warm little home on a hill.
Want to improve office morale around the break room? Are you tired of hearing employees grumble about bad office coffee? There's an easy solution to this. Invite Slow Roasted Coffee's office service into your business. They're your local coffee company that features fair trade certified organically grown coffees roasted daily and delivered fresh to you so you can taste the difference. For 24 years now, this locally owned and operated family business has been serving the Central Coast. Slow Roasted Coffee believes customer service really does matter, which is why they provide 24-hour customer care. Slow Roasted Coffee's office service is perfect for the workplace as well as restaurants and lodging facilities. You'll never have a bitter cup of coffee again. Consistency, freshness, and convenience is what you'll enjoy when you call Slow Roasted Coffee's office service. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. Coffee, the original energy drink.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest pictures you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter, get hooked.
Charter, get hooked right there. We have a new member of the crew here at the Mighty, what do we call them? Central Coast Radio, that's it. We have a new, Moon, one of the salespeople, has a new little, I guess it's Chihuahua, I don't know what it is. I think it looks Chihuahua-ish, but anyway, but it's tiny. It's a little itty-bitty dog. It's cute, but the itty-bitty dog. All right, let's move on here, Bill. You're Bill Benneker, Talkers, Chief Friends and Neighbors Network. Don't forget at 106 and 7/8, we have Jim D coming in for Reel to Reel. We'll talk about what's going on in the films and what's happening. All right, other things that are in the news today. The school district faced a debt on risky bonds. Analysis finds 200 school districts in the state have borrowed billions in a costly manner. So they get into all the details about it, but just know that we have some schools in our area that also did the same thing, and they stand to be in trouble because they did it, and they could have a problem. Cayucas Elementary sold bonds in 2007 that generated a principal of $2.6 million. The total debt service will be $8.7 million with a maturity length of 34.4 years. Paso Robles Joint Unified sold bonds for a principal of $3.7 million. The total debt service will be $25 million with maturity in 35.3 years. And they did the same thing in 2007, sold bonds to generate principal of $889,000. Sale has total debt service of $4.1 million. So are they borrowing this? Are they borrowing this from the mafia? Where are they getting this dough? It's kind of excessive, doesn't it? Okay, somebody doesn't want to get their legs whacked. And then additional lawsuits that Grover financier Al Moriarty, people are filing lawsuits saying that they believe that he was doing a Ponzi scheme, and he insists that he was not doing a Ponzi scheme, that things just fell apart with the recession. And so we'll all just sit by on the sidelines and find out what happens. We'll find out what happens because I don't know. Here's an interesting thing. I don't know. Was he investigated by the local law authorities and the people? Was he ready? Maybe. I don't know. And who else is in the news today? Who else is in there? By the way, if you hadn't heard, because I saw this was on the news just when I was leaving, as a matter of fact, in Syria they've cut off the internet. The Syrian government's cut off the internet, and there's huge clashes by the airport in Syria, so there's no flights in or out. Not that you'd really want to fly into Syria right now for any reason, but you can't. And the other thing, and then they shot down, I think they said, one jet and two helicopters, the rebels. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on there again. So there we go. And to add misery to our misery, it says, U.S. stuck in flawed policy, experts say. So it says we're whacked. We don't know what we're doing to begin with. Anyway, so that's possible, I guess. Anyway. They say, basically, the U.S. opposition to Palestinian statehood, which the U.N. is likely to vote on today, may strengthen Hamas, that militant group, and that's not surprising. Everybody guesses the best they can, and then things go bad is how it kind of works, and so that's kind of what we're looking at right now. And it's a shame. It's too bad. It's not right. All right. Key positions in statehood vote. Two-thirds of the U.N. members' nations have already recognized the state of Palestine. Here's a look at how some countries may vote today. France, a yes. China, yes. Spain, Norway, Denmark, and Switzerland, all yes. United States, opposed. Canada, opposed. Britain, possibly abstained. So there we go. I don't think it's going to be a close vote at all. Okay. What else is going on? Okay. We mentioned yesterday, and I mean, this is really huge, about whether or not the untouchable status of mortgage interest IRS is primarily one of the key blocks of keeping the middle class under control. You know what I'm saying? Keeping them somewhat content. But now if they take that away, oh, who knows? Who knows what could happen? Who knows? This is an interesting story, but it's sort of oblique in a way. It says, government report shows U.S. jails could handle Guantanamo detainees. Because there's 166 detainees in Guantanamo, and we already have 373 prisoners of terrorist suspects in prison now, and it hasn't created a problem. I don't think it has to do with creating a problem. I think it has to do with making a statement to terrorists. I think it does. I think they're basically saying, you know what? You go to the big hole in the ground, Gitmo. And you stay there. I don't know if it affects. I don't know how terrorists think anyway, but who knows? All right. Arctic ice area, largely the United States, melted this year. Enough Arctic ice melted to be equal to the size of the United States. So, of course, scientists are now saying, don't you get it? Don't you get it? 2012 was among the hottest we've had. We had drought in the Midwest that was severe and terrible. Yeah. I don't know where we're going on it. We should be going somewhere, don't you think? I would think so. This is good news. It doesn't seem like it. I don't know why it doesn't seem like it. But anyway, they say child sex abuse is steadily falling. The National Survey of Children Exposed to Violence conducted in 2008 found 2% of children ages 2 to 17 had been sexually assaulted, down from 3.3% in a similar survey 5 years earlier. University of New Hampshire researchers note that the other indicators of child welfare that could be associated with sexual abuse have also declined, including teen suicide, down 30% from 1990, teen runaways, police arrests, births, all that stuff down. So. I'm glad that's happening. I hope everything's right. Government, once again, is close to hitting the debt ceiling. You know that debt ceiling we keep raising? Yeah, well, we're going to raise it again. We are. What's Denzel Washington? What's the name of that thing? Choo Choo, the train that was out of control. And you're headed for, some populated area or whatever, and you're going to cause a big problem. Well, this is kind of what we have here. We got the train that's just going the train to heck. And then, speaking of trains, Lamert Park in South Los Angeles, they're building a new light rail line in there, and so one of the things that was a big hope for all the people almost absolutely black area, was that they would have a stop there, which they expected, they were told they were going to get, and now they're saying, well, we have budget problems and all that, and maybe you're not going to get a stop where you are. And the people feel like all that's doing is dividing the neighborhood more by putting this thing in the middle of it, and they're not happy. They're not, let me tell you, they're not happy. They're not happy. And we know how things work out in L.A. when people are not happy there. Okay. I think I remember now. So that's not good. That can't be good right there. All right. I got to take one more break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk more. And then don't forget, at 106 and 7/8 GMD from the Palm Theater with Reel to Reel.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers Agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
At Idlers, we are a family-owned company, and we love where we live.
We are your neighbors.
We are How'd You Sleep Last Night?
Idlers Sleep Source has the perfect beds for a perfect night's sleep.
Ready for perfect?
Try Sealy, Simmons Beautyrest, Tempur-Pedic.
We have them all and more
at every price.
Free delivery, free setup, free haul away every day.
Paso,
San Luis Obispo,
Idlers.net.
Idlers Sleep Source, best prices guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Get a good night's sleep. Get to Idlers and get some beds. We get some beds going on for yourself. Here's a, what was this story? What the heck is this story, Medica? What do you got there? Well, it was the most important story in the whole wide world, so I don't know if I really want to play that story. That's how I feel about that. Let's see what we got here. Let's see what we got. Real quick. Well, okay, we can do it. This is Will and Kate visiting Cambridge, and they say Kate has a new hairdo. I can't tell. It didn't look new to me. Okay, here we go. We'll find it.
But
go on.
It's more.
Yeah. Please feel free. Please feel free.
Recently created Duke and Duchess. Kate coming right up to date with a new hairstyle. Commentator said it gave her a softer look. Prince William paid tribute to this ancient seat of learning where he noted DNA and gravity were discovered. He made less weighty comments, however, about his younger sibling.
My brother Harry and I were fortunate enough to come to Cambridge 5 years ago when we spent a couple of days at Trinity. I had to say it's the closest Harry's ever got to university. It's an easy dig.
And also, keeping it in the family, Kate bumped into a cousin.
She did look a bit surprised. I think she knew I was going to be here, but nevertheless, it's a sea of faces, isn't it?
Kate Middleton became the Duchess of Cambridge on her wedding day last year. The couple have become icons for these school children. And also an intimidating audience. As the mayor of Cambridge put it, the couple came here to claim their city, and they did so with some success. Max Foster, CNN, Cambridge, England.
Thanks, Max. I appreciate that. Now, we have another story here I want to share with you because, slow roasted coffee and how economical it actually is and how great it tastes and all that kind of stuff. Because this is causing a stir right here. This next report will kind of cause you a stir. It'll stir your pocketbook. Okay, so first we have to have Google Chrome. I'm just enjoying the flight of the Valkyrie. Like there was a commercial around.
Money being sucked from wallets?
It's priced at $7 a cup.
Hi there, welcome to Starbucks. What can we get started for you?
How about a bank so we can afford the new coffee made from rare Costa Rican beans called Finca Palmolera?
Finca Palmolera.
Finca Palmolera. Actually, $7 is for the medium, the grande. You could skimp, and for $6, get a small. It was introduced at 46 Starbucks stores in the Pacific Northwest.
Wow. Is that something you would buy?
No, not at all.
But hold the outrage. For some people, coffee tasting is like wine tasting. People like Melody Overton, who runs a fan site for Starbucks enthusiasts, where some were giddy over the prospect of sampling a rare coffee. Melody attended a special tasting.
Yeah, I noticed all of these flavors and how it has so much going on in a single cup of coffee. And I'm like, oh, I like this.
So what's it taste like?
fruity, juicy, clean. Definitely a little pineapple.
Mm-hmm. See, they're not words I associate with coffee. This type is expensive because it grows only at high altitudes and there are fewer cherries per tree.
And let the Finca Palmolera Coffee Challenge begin.
Jimmy Kimmel's staff asked folks if they could pick the new super premium Starbucks coffee.
I want to say this one because it has more of a richer taste.
Okay, I should mention that we didn't even bother to get the $7 coffee. We got a pot of regular coffee and poured the exact same coffee in both cups.
See, this one's a smoother flavor, the other one's slightly bitter.
I believe it's this one. It just tastes richer.
It kind of has a beany taste. It tastes like a bean.
I would put $2 to $3 on this cup, preferably over the second cup.
It all tastes the same. It all tastes the same.
Now that guy was using his bean. Genimo, CNN.
It all tastes the same.
New York.
God, that's funny. Okay. Anyway, so they got a Costa Rican, actually one of the best Costa Rican coffees is called Tarzu, and also grown way up in the mountains, and it has fewer beans and all that, and you can get it from Slow Roasted Coffee. And I'm not going to charge you $7. There's no way when you make that coffee it's going to be $7 a cup. It's going to be about a dime. I think you can afford that. Okay. Other things going on today. Other things happening today in our world. I'm concerned about this weather thing, but we're okay. No, we have the. We're not going to hear it because I'm not going to play it. We got the Bieber overhaul faux pas. When you're an entertainer, like when Michael Jackson met the. Did Michael Jackson meet the Queen, right? Didn't he have his funny glove on? That's sort of a faux pas. You know? I didn't, right? Aren't you supposed to take your glove off to shake hands with the Queen? Isn't that the way it works? You don't put one on to shake hands with the Queen, do you? Maybe it was his left hand. I have no idea. I don't remember. I don't remember exactly. Okay. Other people in the news and why they're there. Brand name drugs, they say, are sharply rising in price, whereas generic drugs are coming down in price. So you have to ask yourself, let's see, do I want that or do I want that? Do I want to buy that or do I want to buy that? Well, I think you can kind of answer it for yourself. Yeah. Okay. You know that polygamous guy in Texas, Warren Jeffs? They want to seize his property, which is a lot. It's 1,700 acres. 1,700 acres. And they want to take it and say, we want it. Okay, here we go. And they want it because you know, he's in jail and everything. So they'll probably succeed with that, for sure. I don't know this name at all. Kindy, I think it's K-I-N-D-E. Is that Kindy or Kindy or Kindy, Kindy, Kindy? Durkee's her last name, and she's a turkey. She took more than $7 million from campaign committees and other accounts she controlled over a decade. She was a Democratic treasurer. And so she's been ordered to pay $10.5 million in restitution. Really, that amount is expected to be recovered to the victims whose losses range from $499 to more than $4 million. Yeah, I don't think that she probably doesn't have the dough. And you can't make more money when you're in prison, you know, a dollar a day. That's all. So it takes a long time to pay all that out. It takes a long dang time to pay all that out. Okay. Other people in the news. Of course, here's the headline. Revolution number 2, question mark? Revolution number 2, question mark? All right. Probably. Let me get to this, because now I don't know how I feel. Now I got mixed emotions. I hate that. I like to have just some emotions that I understand. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. And so this has to do with these letters to the editor today. So there's two letters to the editor that basically were saying that Bruce Gibson's a no-good sex nick. And we don't need him. Problem behavior. What else over here? Gibson should go. You know, again, once they read, they're saying that they can't trust him anymore. Here's the interesting thing about this now. For some reason, I bought the story, and maybe I'm just romantic. You know what I'm saying? I bought the story when he said it was a matter of the heart. So now they got this thing where Sherry Spiro, his assistant, is going to get moved to a county job, even though she's not in a county job. She's going to be moved to a $68,000 a year county job, which people are voicing concern about. Let me think. I would think in this circumstance, I'm going to say this. One of the two of them should say, okay, I'm going to step down. Actually, she can't step down because she's, you know, she's his assistant. She's not a county employee. But something should happen. So I agree now that something should happen because it's not right that she should be moved to another position, you know. Now, it may be, or it may be that, you know, and the other thing is to find out. Here, we'll find out if Bruce Gibson's right. Don't move her to another position. Just let her job expire, okay? And then see if she wants to sue Bruce Gibson. Because maybe she doesn't want to sue him at all. Maybe they're going down the yellow brick road together. I don't know. It's interesting. Time to reform the filibuster, according to the Sacramento Bee. We can't be having this filibustery stuff. By adapting changes in its rules, the Senate would assure that the minority could use the filibuster, but then it will be the majority would prevail after a reasonable period of public deliberation, restoring the principle of majority. It's like, you know, it's just one of these odd Washington, D.C. things that nobody's understood from the very beginning. But the whole idea is if you can, you know, you try to keep a vote from going to you try to keep a bill from going to vote by just postponing. And that's what you do. So, Jim, you're always so quiet and polite when you come in here. And this is talk is cheap, the friends and neighbors. You don't have to be like that. You can just kind of walk in and say, hey, I'm here, Bill. All right, because we're going to have Reel to Reel coming up here right after the news that happens in 3 minutes. On 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo. Here's Paula says, drive now, text later. Now she's hoping for some kind of I don't know how you do this technology where the moment you dial your phone, your car turns off. This is what she's thinking. Now this could be a problem because, you know, if you're on the middle of the freeway and your car turns off, your power steering doesn't work, your brakes, the whole thing, maybe not a good idea. You know, that's a bad way to punish somebody. I'm not sure what the answer is. I did find out that these GPS affairs that they have in the car dashboards do not work if the car's in drive. So I think that's what I was told. Somebody just told me that's so. Now, when I first heard of these things, somebody said, well, why don't they make it so if the car's in drive, they can't use them? I thought, good idea. But now I'm told that that's how they do work. But I got an old sled. I have no idea. Going on. All right, other things going on. That was the letters today. Then we have we had a Viewpoint article which was signed by everybody in the world, teacher in Paso Robles, and then all these other things submitted by Randy Nelson, principal, and all these other people that were teachers and people and all kinds of people, and about 20 of them, and it was basically stand up to every act of hate. Anytime you see an act of hate, you stand up to it. Like the guy that went into the beauty salon there and wrecked the place. Now, he was very hateful, so you have to stand up to that guy. So anyway, people did rat him out, but we don't know. They haven't said yet if he was on drugs or just crazy or what was going on with him, but something wasn't right. He had a Lindsay Lohan moment, so there has to be something wrong with that. All right, other people on news today. Other people, got anything left here they want to talk about? Oh, Anthem Blue Cross. Are you with Anthem Blue Cross? Sorry. Plans double-digit rate hike, so they're going to raise your rates way up there. And you might say to yourself, but I've never used my health insurance like my wife. They don't care. Yeah, you're going to pay for the other people that are using theirs. Port of L.A.'s busiest terminal idled by a strike. So at least we don't have to worry about terrorists smuggling something into the Port of L.A. And then having it go someplace else because they're on strike there. So we're safe from that. So look at it's the silver lining thing you have to look at. All right, and then lastly, U.S. brands linked to the deadly blaze in Bangladesh. Walmart, Disney, among companies with clothes being made in the eight-story building that caught fire in the deaths of 112 people. The guy that owns the building said he didn't know that he had to have fire escapes. He didn't know he had to have fire doors. He didn't know. Yeah, right. You're only going to pay the people 10 cents a month, and you're going to have that kind of a problem, I would think. The building's not going to be really up to snuff, as I would say.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The United Nations is going to recognize Gaza as a state, its own country, almost. Observer state is the official UN category. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas through an interpreter.
Palestine comes today to the General Assembly because it believes in peace.
An affirmative vote is certain in the UN, though the US and Israel say the same thing. Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak.
That's the right way to make things worse rather than to solve them.
Israel says until Palestinians recognize Israel, statehood is impossible. A military judge has preliminarily accepted the guilty plea by Army Private Bradley Manning to 7 charges in the delivery to WikiLeaks of hundreds of thousands of secret U.S. documents.
Bradley Manning was dressed in his Army uniform. He was composed on the witness stand.
That's CBS's Tracy Caldwell. Manning told the military court he thought he was going to die in custody. After being arrested in New York early this morning for misdemeanor assault and a fracas with another woman, now actress Lindsay Lohan has more trouble in California related to a fender bender last summer. Alleged parole violations.
Lindsay Lohan is being charged with 3 violations, all stemming from a traffic collision last June. She is charged with obstructing the investigation, lying to police, and reckless driving.
CBS's Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. The statistical exercise of demographics continuously changes. The economic downturn is credited or blamed for a reduction of the birth rate in the U.S. of 8%.
Even more dramatic are the declines for Mexican foreign-born women. Their birth rates have declined 23% from just 2007 to 2010.
That's Pew researcher Gretchen Livingston. The statistics also say immigrants, while making up 13% of the population, still produce 23% of the new babies. Meetings, but no positional movements among the sides in the fiscal cliff talks. White House spokesman Jay Carney.
We remain optimistic that this can get done, but the president's principles are clear.
The president wants higher taxes on the well-to-do and an increase in the national debt. House Speaker John Boehner.
I remain hopeful that productive conversations can be had in the days ahead, but the White House has to get serious.
Third quarter economic growth was 2.7%. That's better than expected. And the largest chain stores posted strong sales in the last 2 weeks of November. Wharton School professor Barbara Kahn.
All of these numbers indicate the health of the economy, and it seems that we should be cautiously optimistic.
The latest projections, however, from the government for both consumer, retail, and corporate spending is for slower in coming months. On Wall Street, the Dow up 47 points, NASDAQ gained 23. This is CBS News.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most risk-free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call now. 800-39-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Celebrity memorabilia auction at Christie's in London.
Under the hammer in London, pop culture. To get into Madonna's green silk corset with conical cuffs, you need a 22-inch waist and have $52,000. That's what it sold for. Christie's Nicole Tompkinson.
The market is driven by passion.
Indiana Jones whip. A snap at $32,000. Imagine a John Lennon shirt, $18,000. It cost $13,000 to buy a single dollar bill, but this one had Andy Warhol's signature on it. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
When the USS Enterprise officially retires on Saturday, naturally, Captain Kirk will be there. William Shatner, the indelible Captain James T. Kirk of Star Trek's Starship Enterprise, will attend the aircraft carrier's inactivation ceremony at Naval Station Norfolk, the real Enterprise's last public ceremony. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
There are many debt relief plans and scams out there. So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt and you just want the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions available to you, then call American Credit Card Solutions for a free informational kit that will tell you about your options in simple, easy-to-understand terminology. The kit is free. The shipping is free. And there is absolutely no sales pitch. Just the facts. Sent directly to you in the mail. This free informational kit can be mailed to you today so you can examine all the debt relief options available in the comfort of your home with no one pressuring you to make a quick decision. Call 800-912-1515 and ask for your free kit. That's 800-912-1515. This is a first-come, first-serve offer, and kits are limited. So call right now for your free debt informational kit. 800-912-1515. That's 800-912-1515.
Small. What do you mean? I mean small as in mini. Those zippy little British-style sports cars.
Oh, I love those cars.
Well, Shoemash Casino is giving away two of them every Sunday in December.
Two Mini Cooper giveaways every Sunday?
Oh, that's big.
Yep.
They always say great gifts come in small packages. And a free Mini Cooper is one of the best gifts ever. It comes complete with a peppy 16-valve engine, room for four, and a fuel-saving 37 miles per gallon highway rating.
Wow, I'd sure love to win one of those for the holidays.
Take two. They're small.
Come in for our 10 Mini Cooper giveaways in December. There'll be two cars given away every Sunday, one at 6 p.m. and a second at 10 p.m., plus free play drawings starting at 5 p.m. To qualify, simply play with your Club Shoemash card.
Win big. Win Mini. 10 Mini Cooper giveaway. Only at Shoemash Casino Resort.
Fairy residence, Tooth speaking. Sorry, there's no credit fairy here.
What's that?
He magically raises your credit score? Yeah, there's no credit fairy. But you can improve your credit by paying bills on time and keeping your credit card balances low. Money under your pillow? Sorry, kids only.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. Brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
This was Palm Theater, your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim Lee's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly high pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute pot.
Time for Real Real. We'll go back in Jim D here right now on this Thursday, and I thank you very much for joining us. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I swell. Hey, let's start off with the fact that you and I both ended up this week seeing Skyfall.
Yeah.
Well, what we're trying to do is we were discussing this a little bit before we got going, because you don't want to say too much about it, because you don't want to give anything away in the whole thing, but you need to. I'll say it this way. Some of it was just far too predictable to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The box at the very end, totally predictable, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the only part I didn't like about the movie. It was certainly a bit more shoot-em-up bang-bang than ever before, and I think there was some things that were a little bit awkward that they did in it. But basically, I was well done, and he did a great job playing Bond again and had the babes and everything.
Yeah, I think Daniel Craig is a really great Bond. In fact, I think in the books, you know, unlike the very dashing previous Bond, Sean Connery, Roger Moore, the rest, you know, a spy isn't supposed to be ravishingly good-looking. He's got to kind of mix in with the crowd. So Daniel Craig, he has those kind of rough-hewn features, and you wouldn't really call him a pretty boy or anything.
No, because you're right. I mean, if you're Pierce Brosnan, of course, people are looking at you because you're an actor, but women would also look at Pierce Brosnan because he's a handsome man.
Yes.
You know, so he would attract attention. So you got to be kind of have a radio face to do a good spy job.
Yeah. You know, they talk about Skyfall being the best Bond ever, and I read a lot of reviews, and the preview looked fabulous, and I shouldn't say this to your listeners who haven't seen it, because if you're a Bond fan, you should go out and see it. It's fun at the movies, but I was disappointed. I kind of like what they were trying to do, and I'm not going to try to give anything away, but they do get into Bond's past, which I don't think was ever revealed in any movie. Sort of like, I mean, his origins are similar to Batman and the fact he loses his parents and so on and so forth, sort of get an idea why he became a spy, but I almost wish they would have mined that a little bit more. I mean, they kind of, I was thinking about it after the film, but mainly after the film, I said, okay, that was a good popcorn movie. And, well, the opening sequence, you know, usually the Bond trademark is, you know, barely the credits roll, and you've got this opening sequence that just locks you into the movie, and this one certainly had it. Then I'm thinking, okay, they have to top this at the end of the movie. They got to do something better than they did at the front of the movie. And it didn't quite do it, at least for me. I was waiting for some slam-bang ending. Maybe I was looking for formula, but it didn't seem to happen. Even though all the elements were there, I love Judi Dench as M and Daniel Craig, and Javier Bardem was a fabulous villain.
That's only the second time I've seen him. I only saw him in No Country for Old Men. I don't know what else he's played in, but I hadn't seen anything by him, so I thought he did a real great job.
Well, I mean, to me, his master stroke is a film called The Sea Inside. It's a Spanish film. It won the Best Foreign Language Film Award, I want to say, 5-6 years ago. Absolutely incredible. He is such a fine actor. He was also in the Woody Allen film Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I'm just trying to think of some other. I mean, he's been in a lot of movies, but you know, in the two films you mentioned, Bill, No Country for Old Men and Skyfall, he plays a character that's totally different than what he usually plays. And in fact, I even think in interviews, Javier Bardem says, you know, I have a hard time with these villains that he plays. I think he had a hard time with his role in No Country for Old Men. Not that he didn't pull it off. But it's very different from his nature. But hell, he's an actor. He's an actor.
Yeah, really. That's kind of interesting. That's just kind of interesting. Okay, let me think if there's anything else I can say about it that I can say about it. Okay, I will mention this. I went to the Galaxy for the first time. We went with some friends up there in Tascadero. Tascadero went to the Galaxy, and it's a spiffy living there. That new theater is huge. And then we got there. We didn't go to the place where they had the beer and the wine, but they have beer. I'm sorry, I'm just a purist or something. There's beer, wine, and popcorn. When I'm in a movie house and I'm eating popcorn, I want a Sprite or a Coke to follow it down there. I wash it down. I guess this just seems weird to have a beer at a movie theater.
But. Well, believe it or not, in theaters across the country, both the multiplexes and smaller theaters like the Palm, you know, they are integrating alcohol into their concession stands and. You know, even beer and wine, I've seen it, and it helps those concession sales. And
sure, I bet they get a fortune for them, too.
I'm sure there's a pretty good markup on it. And, I, you know, like you, before we went on the air, why do you have to have a glass of wine or a beer with a movie? Maybe you can reserve that for your home viewing or something, but I certainly don't need to be, you know, drinking a beer during a movie.
It's interesting. Yeah, you're right. I would imagine the bottom line helps a whole lot. I mean, you know, for what they probably, you know, especially when they're buying $2 chuck and selling for $7 a glass.
Well, I mean, maybe we talked about this before, you know, I'm sure the film rental, the theaters playing Skyfall, for instance, are paying a high percentage of that, of their film, of their box office receipts. It's just sort of the blockbusters command a lot of film rental, and that's why they have to make it up at the concession stand with those rather exorbitant prices.
I will say this again. It was a very nice little lounge they had. I don't know why you'd be in the lounge if you're there to watch a movie, but anyway, they had a very nice little lounge there, and they had two screens. One was showing the Twilight thing. And I walked in there just to look, you know. Everybody's got funny eyes in the Twilight movie. I don't know what that's about.
And pale faces.
Pale faces. Funny eyes, yeah. And then they turned into funny animals. And then Lincoln was playing the other one. I should have walked into that one instead of that one. But anyway, so I would love to see what Daniel Day-Lewis looks like in that. But anyway, so it was interesting. I will say this: a movie like Skyfall, you know, it's fun on a big screen.
Yeah, sure
it really
is.
It really is.
Yep.
But intimate movies to me don't make sense on big screens. They just it takes away from them, I think.
You said intimate movies?
Yes.
Oh, I disagree. I tend to think that, I mean, for instance, the film we have at the Palm right now called A Late Quartet, I would call that an intimate movie. There's no car crashes or superheroes or anything. It's about a string quartet that plays classical music. It's great on the big screen. I've seen this on the big screen and on video, and there's something else going on with big screen. So I agree with you, Bill, because the blockbusters are the most mandatory. You've got to see them. Like Life of Pi, apparently, you got to see that on the big screen because not only is it visually amazing, but the 3D is great.
Let's talk about Rise of Pi for a second.
Oh, okay.
Where do you think that? Well, no, when you finish. Big screen thing. The big screen. That's interesting. Now, it was on the I've only been to two other big... I went to Cinemax in L.A. years and years ago one time. Remember they had the Cinemax Theater?
Mm-hmm.
I went. I think I saw How the West Was Won or something.
Yeah, that was one of the few Cinemax movies.
And then...
Cinerama movies.
Cinerama Dome. Then I've been to the... what are they called? IMAX. There was one in Monterey.
Mm-hmm.
And there was and the one in Hearst Castle.
Yeah, the IMAXs are pretty amazing.
Yeah, they're going to change the movie at Hearst Castle. It always gets, you know, four tickets and everything. But, you know, it's been out now for 45 years. Do you think we could change it just a little, maybe do something different about the... Anyway.
Yeah, you know, one thing I should tell you, Bill. It was 10, 15 years ago at the San Luis Film Festival. Michelle Goldfinger, one of my all-time favorite Bond films, if not my favorite. And I thought, I've seen this movie a ton of times. I mean, I've seen it on video and so on and so forth. So here it is. We had a beautiful 35-millimeter print on the big screen. There was something else going on. I just got in there and I said, this... there's something else that's hooking me into this movie I've seen a million times before. So, there's no, same thing happened with Manchurian Candidate when they showed at the film festival. I mean, somehow the theatrical big screen presentation, without it being a huge blockbuster, there's something else going on.
I've never seen Casablanca on a big screen.
Oh, we've shown it a number of times over the past. It's fabulous.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. There was a comment I was going to make about that. Anyway, but the experiences, it's a different, they're different experiences, and it's rather fascinating, really.
I agree.
Okay, let's talk about this. Life of Pi came to number 5 at the box office this weekend, but I'm wondering if it's because they got Twilight in front of it and they have Skyfall in front of it. Oh, let me go backwards first before we start. If you ask me right now, would you rather go see Skyfall again or would I rather see Goldfinger? I'd see Goldfinger.
Well, I think I might agree with you.
That was the best one without being too campy. And when they finally got to where they're underwater with the scooters and all that kind of stuff, it got to be kind of, you know, out there.
Well, you know, one thing that's, well, I don't want to reveal that about Skyfall, but, you know, there's a new Q. There's a new person who gives the gadgets. And the gadget, well, he had one gadget on this one, which was good in this new Bond film. He wasn't relying on all these kind of goofy gadgets and stuff to get him out of predicament. In fact, the one thing he had didn't really help him out.
And let me say this, if I may. I'm going to reveal this, because I thought that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen, was... he's got this little radio homing device, you know, and it's about 2 square inches, and it has a little antenna. When's the last time you saw some of an antenna sticking out of it?
In Goldfinger.
In Goldfinger. It's like, wait a minute, this is 2012, you don't have a little antenna sticking out of things.
They got to fire the new Q. He looks like, you know, he looks like your quintessential computer nerd.
Oh, he is.
With the horn-rimmed glasses and everything.
Anyway, but I thought that was really weird. I thought, you know, they'd have something the size of a thumbnail, or they'd put it on your thumbnail or something, and say you did it today.
Well, to its credit, not that many gadgets, or really none.
Yeah. That was it.
Yep.
Speaker. Okay. That was cool. All right. So Twilight Saga: Breaking Dawn, of course, was in top spot at the box office last weekend once again, and did a gross of $43 million.
Yeah, that's something that's, second or third week now? You know, we should mention, Bill, that this last Thanksgiving box office bonanza, they said it was the best Thanksgiving, you know, 5-day weekend ever. You know, because they do, you know, sort of introduce the holiday affair and maybe some of the Oscar nominees around this time. But this time, you know, all the films that we're talking about, Life of Pi, Skyfall, Twilight, Lincoln, they're all doing great at the box office. And so it's nice to know that people are going out to the movies.
You know, the other thing, too, though, is, and here, see, I haven't watched these movies to speak of. I've glanced at them when they were on HBO or whatever and said, oh, okay, well, that's not my cup of tea, this vampire stuff. I just can't get onto it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But Twilight costs, of anything that's out now, is certainly the most expensive, and it costs $227 million to make. And now, I don't know what happens in it. It's really presumptuous of me to say, what could you spend $227 million on with a bunch of pale people with funny eyes and a couple of wolves? But they somehow spent the money. Is there like a lot of effects that are really way out there or something?
I think the effects are probably expensive, and let's not, shall we not mention the
salaries. Oh,
because I mean, to say, hey, you've got this film that you know is going to make like $800 million to $1 billion worldwide,
right.
And so if you're an actor, you're going to say, hey, I don't want to do this for scale, you know, or minimum wage.
Got a point there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen what, what's her name, Kristen Stewart and this Pattison guy, I haven't seen what they ever made for these movies.
Yeah, they haven't revealed that. You know, sometimes they go into great detail of, you know, Jim Carrey made $20 million for Cable Guy or something way back when. I'm sure these actors are getting paid well for the Twilight series, but they've kind of kept that under wraps. I would tend to think that they would, who knows, I mean, the art of the deal in Hollywood, maybe they just get a basic salary and part of the profits, or just
well,
a...
We know that some actors do that, and they say, okay, this, and they get part of it, and sometimes they get part of the merchandise that's associated with it. You know, and I mean, hopefully Harrison Ford worked a deal like that.
Well, Jack Nicholson did it with the first Batman, where I think he took a cut salary, but had a piece of the pie with the merchandising, and that silly movie made $250 million. I think Jack Nicholson ended up with like $50 million or something from the first Batman when he played the Joker.
You know, the problem was, I think the problem with Batman, the first one, and this was funny, it was just on TV 2 days ago or something, I was watching a little bit of it and going, oh, okie dokie, but here's the thing, not only was it boring, it was fun for Jack Nicholson to have Jack Nicholson do his shtick, you know, but I think what they were trying to do was, I don't know, you probably read about it. I didn't. It's like they were trying to go with the campiness of the TV show, you know, but they were adapting that to this movie. I don't know. Otherwise, I don't know how you'd explain how bizarre it was.
You know, I think that first Batman at the time seemed a little more dark, but if you compare it to the Christopher Nolan Batman, like the Dark Knight, that Joker, you don't want to mess with the Heath Ledger Joker. So it's almost as if I felt the Dark Knight made those early Tim Burton Batman movies campy because it really they had a whole different tone.
Well, yeah, because the Penguin, which one was that, Batman Returns or Batman Forevermore or whatever it was anyway.
Yeah.
So, and here you have Danny DeVito playing this penguin-looking guy, and that was a little bit dicey, and that was very black. All Tim Burton stuff is, you can't help yourself.
Well, and then the later ones, what was it, the third one was, I forget who the director was, but it was all neon and flashy, and I forget, they're saying, oh, what's all this dark stuff we're doing with Batman? I'm kind of, well, Batman's a very dark character. That's why I think that the Christopher Nolan ones, even though I didn't see the new one, it, you know, strikes really what Batman was all about.
Interesting. I was going to say something I wasn't sure was.
You're right. So me rambling.
No, that's okay. No, the Batman thing is, no, it's interesting. I didn't get to see the last one either, and I would like to see it. No, some way or another I'd like to see it, I'm sure. It was part of the entertainment. Anyway, but has Tim Burton ever made a movie that was kind of smiley, happy, anything? Ever?
Well, it depends on how you look at Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, Edward Scissorhands was a black, dark, weird...
Beetlejuice. I'm just trying to get some of the later stuff.
Okay, here's the thing.
Mars Attacks, that's one of my all-time favorites.
Okay, Mars Attacks was cute. All right, that was cute. And I'll say with Beetlejuice was more funny than it was serious in its own way. Mm-hmm. You know, so that worked, I guess.
He did the early Pee Wee Herman films, I think at least the first one. So... It's a
he would have
dark, funny side.
He would have done a third one with Pee Wee Herman, but he refused to wash his hands. So anyway, let's talk about these other movies that are in there. So Skyfall was number two. This is this last weekend. It's like we're going way back, but it doesn't matter. Lincoln was number three, so that's starting to take off and do good. Rise of the Guardians was still, you know, $23 million. That's good. Number five is Life of Pi, and so I certainly hope. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. They say this Life of Pi is pretty extraordinary, mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll start going up as opposed to going down.
I think a lot of those titles that you just mentioned, Bill, will kind of cruise through this holiday season. Usually between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they don't release a whole lot of stuff, even though Hitchcock is coming to the Palm on the 14th of December, but. They'll probably wait till just before Christmas or after Christmas, because in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, people are usually out getting ready for the holidays, getting the tree, buying gifts, and it's not a solid movie-going time. After Christmas, yes, and into January and February with the Oscar nominations, that's the hot time at the movies.
So when they show, let me see, I think it says on here, let me see something, I want to see what this is. Gross budget, I don't know what that means. Does it tell you how many screens it shows on? What are these numbers, the TW and the LW? Oh, this last weekend last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last weekend last year. But the interesting thing is that Hitchcock is barely off the ground. Where would they have shown up at $287,000?
Probably in about five cities. They'd probably open Hitchcock in New York, L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, try to garner some reviews, and it'll slowly expand out. And we have it on the 14th. And there's two ways to release movies. It's, you know, like the Twilight series. You want to get that in 9,000 screens on your opening weekend, and you're going to make all your money back the first two weekends. Something like Hitchcock or Anna Karenina or something like that, they usually open it up in the big cities, hopefully get some good reviews, get those reviews out and those little catchphrases of what a sensational movie it is, and then they expand it out to the smaller markets. So two approaches to distribution.
Now, here was an interesting, I haven't seen this in a long time. They have in the Ticket magazine, they have, and this was reviewed by San Francisco Chronicle guy, Nick LaSalle. They have a ripped up Ticket. For the collection.
Oh, that got, yeah.
It looks really weird.
Yeah, it looks like another blood and gore type thing. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. Way back when, the first Scream was programmed around Christmas, which at the time, I want to say 10, 12 years ago, the first Scream movie was unheard of to have a slasher movie around Christmas. It ended up doing this killer business. So, not only around Halloween, but around holiday time, you'll probably find some slasher movie out there to try to tap that audience.
This, I look at this picture, you know, what comes to mind, of course, is Silence of the Lambs.
There you go.
This guy's got a funny mask on, so you just say to yourself, okay, that's what's about.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, there's another big movie that's coming out, and this is a cast of characters for sure. James Gunn, LaFini, Ray Liotis, Scoot McNairy.
Brad
Pitt's the big name.
Yeah.
This is called Killing, or Killing Them Softly. And so this is really, you know what this reminds me? This reminds me, I've seen it already, this reminds me of Collateral Damage. Collateral. Is that what it's called with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
When he went around in the cab and did his business?
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting. So it's about a hitman and all this kind of stuff for a mob.
And what's interesting, too, is this film looks like it has a great cast, and Brad Pitt looks great and kind of a hitman thing. But then Tom Cruise will return in a few weeks in this film called Jack Reacher, where it looks like he's sort of a Dirty Harry character. He's like a cop, and he plays outside of the rules, and you don't want to mess with him. So they're trying to, that's the next Tom Cruise vehicle, and they're trying to get that out there. So hitmen seems to be a favorite subject here.
Okay.
Not impressed, huh?
Look at, what was the name of that crazy show, Sopranos? That was a series about hit things, and, you know, it went on for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was highly successful, so I guess hit men are highly successful.
Oh, always, I think. It's like at the beginning of Goodfellas, or Ray Liotta says, you know, ever since I can remember, I was always wanted to be a gangster. The romantic side of that, whatever you want to call that, that way of life.
Interesting. That is interesting. Well, when it comes to gangster movies, of course you got The Godfather and Godfather 2, but Goodfellas is a tough one to top.
Tough one to top, and you know, the funny thing about that one, Phyllis, I remember first seeing Goodfellas, and I had to sort of avert my eyes. The violence was so kind of disturbing. And now I just watch it and just go, this is such an amazingly made movie. And, you know, I guess I'm jaded, or you get sort of numb to the stuff. But, you know, Joe Pesci, he comes on screen and you have to sort of brace yourself.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think also once you've seen it, you know, you're a little bit numb to the violence of it, because now what you're doing is instead of being taken aback by each new scene, because that's really what happens when you see it the first time, now you're taking in the whole movie as a movie, I think, and it's different.
Yeah.
But by taking in the whole movie as a movie, which you're not doing usually right away when you see something once, I think that's what adds to the neatness. That tells you whether or not a movie is really worthwhile. Because if you can see it again and again, it makes sense and it's enjoyable to see it again.
Yeah, whatever Martin Scorsese did with that one, it's such an entertaining film. You can get into it. And I think it runs about 2 hours and 40 minutes. And it's just sort of like it doesn't matter. You just want to enjoy the film again.
That's interesting. We're going to have, I want to mention we're going to have Christmas music during our break. We're going to have a little Christmas tune, a little ditty during our break when we take that in a minute or two. And we'll be doing that for the month of December. Today we're going to hear from, see if you can tell me what song you think this is and from what movie. We're going to hear from Doris Day. How's the Christmas theme? How's the new Christmas?
Oh, you're asking
me? I'm asking. That's a quiz right there.
I should know this. Or I should know some of the Christmas songs that she sang.
You know what's interesting is, I have a. I bet I'd be wrong. If somebody said to me, "What movie is this from?" I probably would be wrong because I know the movie I think of when I think of it. But and I'll tell you what's going to be. It's going to be Toyland. So I think of Babes in Toyland with
Laurel Hardy.
Mm-hmm. Is that where the song originated?
It might.
I don't know though. I don't know.
I mean, Toyland, dear old. That one,
I'm not sure it's in the dang movie.
A lot of those Laurel and Hardy movies have a lot of music in them.
You know, I just recently got hold of here and was paying a lot of attention to is the. I'm really enjoying it, and it's music that you recognize so readily. It's music, not just Smile by Charlie Chaplin, but just every one of his movies that was a theme song in his movies. I mean, the moment you hear it, you go, whoa.
Yep.
Wow.
That's the thing about Chaplin, actor, director, writer, and incredible musician, composer.
Yeah, I mean, his compositions are, and some of those are very, very, you know, huge compositions, you know, with orchestras and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very fascinating. All right, let's take our break. We'll come back, and we'll have more of Reel to Reel with Bill Back and Jim Dean.
Go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
As time goes by, say goodbye to your hearing. You might think you look bad in your hearing aid, but nobody's even going to know because they're invisible.
Yes, looking at you, kid.
She can go to the prom and watch a subtitle flick.
Suppose you run your business, let me run mine.
My business will tell you about Karen Scott Audiology. When it comes to hearing, she's the best. The little kids, big kids, young adults, middle-agers, and we old elders. Sure, you don't hear well, so you're used to reading lips, but what about these lips? They hardly move. How are you going to know what this guy's saying?
All the gin joints in all the towns in all the world. She walks into mine.
See, Dr. Karen Scott, so your next trip to the pond will be enjoyable. For your hearing's sake, go see Karen Scott in the Walther Building next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Talk about a marriage made in hog heaven. No smokehouse barbecue in the Palm Theater. We're right around the corner from each other. If you're here at the 4:15 show at the Palm, have a rack of ribs at Moe's after the show. Going to Palm's 7 p.m. show, you gotta go to Moe's for a pulled pork, chicken, or shredded beef sandwich. On the weekends, Moe's has six different salads you can enjoy before the 1:30 show. And when it's over, you can go back to Moe's and enjoy half a chicken or chicken sandwich, slaw, tater salad, fries, chips, onion rings, and lots of other things. It's Moe's and Moe's Barbecue. When you're enjoying a popcorn and soda at the Palm, leave room for some chipotle lime tacos and a pitcher of beer at Moe's. Moe's has food to go, and when was the last time you had some ribs at the Palm? I'm just kidding. Maybe. What makes Moe's so darn good is experience. The happiest city in America's first barbecue restaurant. How do you think we got the title? Moe's and the Palm Theater. Perfectly paired for your enjoyment.
Merry Christmas.
past its borders, you
I was choosing, trying to choose between Doris Day and Leon Redbone. I think Doris Day's was the probably most famous version.
It'd be nice to hear Leon Redbone's version.
We'll have to do that before Christmas time. Cool. We're talking about movies today. This is Real to Real with Bill Benica and with Jimmy B. From the Palm Theater. We're talking about what's going on, what's out there, and why it's out there, and should it be out there, and all that kind of stuff. Let's talk about the thing that you scored, as far as I'm concerned, which I think is really cool, and that's Anna Karenina with
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley. I want to say Kristen something. Keira Knightley. Yes. Anyway, they say it's spectacular.
Yeah, this was it played at Toronto. I didn't see it last September, but the reports were good. It's visually amazing, and I actually kind of fought for this film. I think it might have gone to the multiplexes, but I sort of hammered away at Focus Features and said I'd really like to have this movie. And happily, I got it. I mean, the good thing about the glut of movies in the movie theaters now is there are some things that will come my way that, you know, are sort of on the fence of whether it will play in the multiplex or the Palms. So I was very lucky to get Anna Karenina. We'll have it probably through the holidays. I'm planning on running it through December. And like I said, Hitchcock coming in on December 14th.
Cool. Yeah, Hitchcock's supposed to be another great one. So you haven't seen Keira Knightley in the show, huh?
No, I missed it at Toronto. It was just one of those things. But the reports from everyone said it was very well done. It's the same director. I can't think of. There's a film called Atonement with Keira Knightley a few years ago. Same director. I mean, big spectacle. Although this kind of takes the Anna Karenina story and places it on a stage. But it's still supposed to be extremely lush and amazing.
You know who these are? They're not interchangeable actresses. You don't want to say that to any actress, but you know who I think about all the time. I think of one of them. I think of the other for some reason. That's about Portman, Natalie Portman, along with Keira Knightley. They're about the same age, I think, and I think they're very popular with a certain age group of people right now.
They are.
The other thing that's amazing is, I have to tell you this, and when you start to feel old, you know, because your doctor's younger than you are, you know, it's a young girl or something, and you go, what the hell is that? And then you feel funny. And then I'm looking now at actors and stuff, and actresses. I don't know any of these people. I have no idea who some of these people are. You know, and they get on the TV, and they go to call them talk shows, you know, and they interview and everything. I'm sitting there the whole time going, who the heck is that?
Yeah,
you know,
keeping up with a lot of them. It's
hard to do.
It's hard to do.
Sorry, we're this baby boomer generation is sort of nostalgic. We're kind of in nostalgia. You know, we can't really get off the coin as much about. Yeah, we don't think anybody should have any fun we didn't have. All right, let's talk about other things at the Palm. So we have a nice lineup right now, and we brought one back.
Well, today is the last day of the Untouchables. Okay. We showed that around July, August. Big hit, and had requests for it, so we plugged it in for a couple of weeks. But the Untouchables is ending today. Coming in with Anna Karenina tomorrow. Our holdovers are Sessions with Helen Hunt. And a film I like a lot, A Late Quartet with Christopher Walken and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And Sessions, who is that guy? Somebody talks to me. They said they wanted to see Sessions. They had heard so much good about it that they wanted to see it.
But John Hawkes is the, he plays a real-life person who was in, he has polio, he is bedridden, unfortunately. And I think people are staying away thinking about this as being sort of a downer. It's not at all. It's his wishes to have some intimacy. Helen Hunt plays a sex therapist who helps him out with his problem, which is the fact that he is bedridden.
I saw, as a matter of fact, Helen Hunt was on the old circuit here the other day, so she was sitting in talk shows.
Oh, good.
And what was interesting was that she was talking about this guy's real-life, circumstance. Apparently, he ended up getting married, she said. She said he ended up with someone in the end of his life before he passed away. Not that he got married, but she said he ended up with a woman before he passed away, which I didn't, that's what she said.
I didn't really get it. I've seen the movie. I don't remember that, but I mean, it's people do.
Well, I don't think. I think the movie though just dealt with her and him and that relationship. I didn't try to go further. I don't think at all.
Yeah, you're right. But the movie is really, again, the subject matter may be a little off-putting, but it is really a good film. It is somewhat provocative. William H. Macy plays a wonderful priest who. The main character, his name is Mark, it's John Hawkes, he goes to him repeatedly to make sure that he's not doing something wrong or something that should be, a sin or something. But William H. Macy gives him some good advice. It's a lot of fun.
That's funny. That's cool. Let me talk about also, here we have one of the things that's out there, Red Dawn. I was going to tell you this when it was like, Red Dawn was number 7.
Bill, it's interesting you bring that up because that film was made like 3 years ago and it's been sitting on the shelf because they thought it wouldn't do anything. Probably they were right, depending on when they released it. This is a re-release, well, not a remake of a film that was made back in the 70s.
Matter of fact, guess what? When we talked last week about it, Red Dawn was on HBO sent something. No, it wasn't on one of the premium channels. It was on just something else, Life of a Family or something else.
The original.
So I didn't bother to know.
Yeah, I think this one has us being invaded by North Koreans or something like that.
Which makes sense,
I guess. But interestingly, it really scored at the box office. In other words, they released that film. They waited 3 years because it's been sitting on the shelf, but this was the time to release it. It's doing quite well.
The next time it comes out, it'll be Hitman. Invaded by Hitman. Flight did slight. Matter of fact, it did $8 million. I'm trying to wonder if Flight has its own built-in problem. That people, like you say, people find it off-putting sometimes certain things. I wonder if this scary airplane thing is a problem for people to go see.
Wow, it could be. But Denzel Washington is supposed to be great. Again, Robert Zemeckis is the director of it, who did, like you said, the last few things he's done were animated, Christmas Carol, Polar Express, and this is his first live-action film in a while. But it's supposed to be quite good. It's hanging in there. Was it in the top 10 or so in about its third or fourth week?
Number 8, yeah.
Yeah, and
but only did $8 million.
Yeah, only.
Well, I'm just saying,
That's what's wrong with this industry. It's like, we opened, I remember it was last summer, Green Lantern opens to $60 million. And boy, were they disappointed because they wanted it to be $120 or something. What's wrong with this industry? A little too much
money.
Well,
let's see, Flight, also it's week 4 for Flight, so it's been out for a month.
Yeah,
so that's a while.
Yeah, well, it's hanging in there, though. 4 weeks still in the top 10. That's actually a movie with legs, as they say.
Well, here's an interesting. Let's look at some of these. This is kind of interesting, I think. Pitch Perfect has been out for 9 weeks. What's Pitch Perfect about? It's a baseball movie. It's a baseball movie with, Bill, think.
Are you? You're not confusing me with Trouble with the Curve with Clint Eastwood, are you?
Of course I am.
That's on there in about the top 20 or 25 or so, but I think it ended up only making about $35 million. So, Clint, I love Clint, no matter what he does, but this one didn't really score, unfortunately. No, that was the baseball movie. They kind of released it around the time of the World Series, I think. It did okay, but ended up making only about $35 million despite the presence of Clint Eastwood.
I think Clint should direct.
His last one didn't do that well, too. What was it? J. Edgar Hoover.
J. Edgar Hoover. And that was interesting. Here's what's interesting. When we can be our own judge of what things should be to a point. I watched J. Edgar, not at the theater, but, afterwards. And my question always to me is, if this came on again, would you watch it again? And I have to admit, no.
Bill, it's interesting you say that because my idea of a good movie is one that I do want to see again. Right. And there's a lot of movies. I agree with you. There's like so many movies. When you see it, you just go, okay, I've seen it. And I'm not going to get anything more out of it if I see it again.
I think Ang Lee? I think it's Brokeback Mountain is kind of landing too. Once you know the plot, you got it. Okay, I got it. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. Interesting how these things work. I hear this one here, though. This is The Perks of Being a Wallflower. 10 weeks.
That's been doing pretty well. It's I don't know that much about the film, but it does appeal to a high school, a little older audience, and it's actually scored pretty well, as I recall.
Well, it only cost $16 million to make, so that's pretty good. Hotel Transylvania's been out for 9. Looper's been out for 9. Can you still see Looper somewhere? Where these things go when they say that?
Somewhere, on that listing of films.
How many screens?
It probably began with about 1,500 screens or 1,200. And
293.
Yeah, across the country, that's playing on 293 screens. Even though it was released, about 6 weeks, 10 weeks ago?
Yeah, here, and to get an idea, Hitchcock's at on 17 screens, so this idea that you said about being in the big cities to get some yammering about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you figure that Twilight Saga Part 2 was on 4,000 screens.
Hitchcock will probably end up on 600 to 1,000 screens, but again, it's that slow rollout from the larger cities.
The other thing too is when you do Hitchcock, you're pegging an audience again. It's not a broad appeal thing because young people could care less about Alfred Hitchcock.
Interesting.
In my opinion, I don't think they've even heard of him. Probably, let alone want to see him.
Yeah, it's a sad assessment of our younger audience and the fact that I would like to think a segment would be interested or they would know who Alfred Hitchcock is because he is quite an icon. Whether or not they're going to run out and see it after seeing Twilight is probably not in the cards. But I think the drawing point here is Anthony Hopkins as Hitchcock and Helen Mirren as his wife. And I think there are a large contingent of people out there who know what it is, perhaps not the younger audience.
You know what's interesting, though? If the younger audience watched Alfred Hitchcock, like The Birds or Psycho or some of his things, if they watched it, I think they would really like it. I think they'd say, oh, that's really far out and cool and nutty and crazy and stabby and all that kind of stuff, whatever it was, The Birds or whatever. And I think that they would I think they would get a kick out of it. I think they'd enjoy it, but I just don't think they know about it to begin with, so I don't think they'd probably go.
Well, the Hitchcock film is about him making Psycho, so I'd probably, if the younger audience went to see Psycho, they'd probably get a kick out of that and then watch this movie about the supposed making of the film.
I'm trying to think. They had, what's her name, Janet Leigh, right?
Yes.
Yeah. They had, who did I see on TV they were talking to about this? Maybe Janet Leigh's... Oh, Janet Leigh's daughter is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So they were talking to her about it.
Yep.
And about growing up, with Tony Curtis and all that kind of stuff. But very interesting. Did Alfred Hitchcock use any actresses twice that you can think of?
Well, Tippi Hedren, apparently he made... I don't know the whole story, but I guess he made some problems, or maybe he was sort of infatuated with her. But she was in both The Birds and Marnie. Marnie was Sean Connery.
That's right.
So, and he did have a bevy of beautiful blondes in a lot of his films, and there's a different take on Alfred Hitchcock's methods as a director, whether he was wonderful with his actors or not so wonderful with his actors.
We should also mention something in Skyfall. James Bond, in this particular instance, is only involved with two women at all. And they don't, he doesn't change their lives for the better or the worse, you know. He doesn't, all of a sudden they don't decide they're going to save Fort Knox or anything like that, you know. So it's a different, again, a different take on James Bond, you know. It was more of a shoot 'em up, male type dominated movie than it was a chick flick for sure. So
yeah, well, I guess you'd sort of take for granted he's a chick magnet, you know. And Daniel Craig, I bet you, he seems like he's more cut than Sean Connery ever was. I mean, Sean Connery used to be a bodybuilder and he was incredible, but you know, the scene with Daniel Craig sitting by the pool or something, I mean, he works out, definitely.
Oh, no question, but the thing I'm thinking is, I think if most of us just decide to get in the shower, that woman, I think we'd probably get slapped and screamed and stabbed like psycho.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, most men just can't walk into a shower with a strange woman and say, howdy.
Unless you're James Bond.
Unless you're James Bond. So that's, I guess that makes it work. There is one mystery of James Bond always to me. But usually you kind of get the idea that James Bond always wants people to know that he's there. You know, he wants them to sort of know that he's after them. Otherwise, he would call himself Bob Smith. You know, but, you know, he never does that. So that's the one thing that you sort of say, well, why would he use a phony name? Everybody knows who he is. You know, everybody in the spy community must know who he is because he doesn't care. He's like, fine, come and get me.
Well, he has a license to kill, after all.
That's right, a license to kill.
Yeah. And he'll crack a joke after he kills you, so.
So it was always dandy right there. We should mention, though, that some of the special effects in Skyfall were just amazing. Just absolutely, it's one of those movies, again, we go, how in the heck did they do that?
Oh, I know. And of course, the complete disregard for destroying things if you're after a person you want to nail, including taking a steam shovel and smashing it straight up. You know, it's like, forget the carnage. I have to get this guy.
The animal explained it all to somebody, you know what I mean? That was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting having Q be this young kid. But see, Q was always so perfect as he was for the old movies. You know, he was the right guy to play that part.
Oh, and he was always so upset with Bond because he would smash up the gizmos. He would just say, come on, Bond, get the car back to us, would you?
Well, when they gave him the radio and the gun, if I recall, he lost the gun.
Yep, he did.
And the thing. So, and the last thing that Q said to him before he left was, please try to bring it back.
He always says that.
They never do. They never gets it back.
He was always totally irritated with Bond because he seems to be the one who messes up the gadgets.
We need to reveal this. I think we need to reveal one little fact in this. I think you're going to get a kick out of it. In part of the movie, they resurrect the Aston Martin DB5.
Oh, you let that out of the bag.
I should have told him.
Well, that was the high point of the movie for me. And, of course, it shows up when they play the James Bond theme. It was perfect.
They find a need to use it. Anyway, so it was kind of cute.
Yeah, it was one of the best characters of the movie.
You know, Jim, we should say that this, I think we can say this also, that I think you almost said it, but you didn't quite say it the second time out after you and I talked about it, that they were using M as a mother figure a lot of times, in which you could sort of tell that they were trying to drive that thought home without trying hard enough, I think, is really what should have happened. But, you know, they would call her, and I thought I was hearing things at first, but they would call her Mum.
Yeah, they did.
And Mum, and sometimes, but sometimes Mum. So that was interesting. I thought was interesting, too.
Well, the fact that, I mean, I don't think we're giving anything away here, but M being sort of a surrogate mom to the spy without the mom, who was James Bond. I mean, she took Mom's place, in a way.
The spy who came in from the cold, dark and stormy night, or whatever. Anyway. So anyway, this is there's lots of good movies out there. You got great things going on at the Palm Theater. Don't forget, it's going to start tomorrow, and the other great movies. Solar Powered Theater, great popcorn, great soda pops, just a great time at the Palm. So I encourage you to go there or any cinema and spend some money. You know what the heck, spend some money. And we'll get together again next week. And until then, we like to say this:
rolling it for the movies.